Power to you, buddy.
So did Pauletta. Yeah, I know you already heard a sermon. Can you be just a little bit more patient? And let me add to what Pauletta's already said, because it kind of goes right along with what she's saying. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share. To share the new day that we're moving into. It's a new day. It's the day that all creation has been groaning and been in travail for. It was Pauletta's spirit that was groaning and travailing to see the manifestation of the mature sons of God to come forth in the earth today. That's the day we're moving into. You said you were going to return. We know that you came in the year 2000 and you returned to earth then, but we're expecting a greater fullness of you in this hour, in this day that we're moving into. We're 2,000 years away from Calvary. We're moving into the third day. And you said that in the third day that you would be perfected. And then you said, this spake he of his body. He said, I'm going to be perfected in the third day, 2,000 years away from Calvary. We're in the third day. And he said, now I'm going to perfect my body. I'm going to rise up in my fullness, in my body. And there's going to be a rapture that's taking place even now. I believe in the rapture. I just looked up the definition of the word rapture in Webster's dictionary, and it said, the rapture is a mystical experience in which the spirit is exalted to a knowledge of divine things. A mystical experience, the rapture is a mystical experience in which the spirit is exalted to a knowledge of a divine, and I'm going to add one word there, being. They're being exalted. The spirit is being drawn up into the air, the spirit. When you look up the definition of all those words, the air and what have you. We're going through a mystical experience in which the spirit is exalted to a knowledge of a divine being. That's the rapture. So I'm not going to fight with anybody on the rapture. I believe in it. I believe on March 20, 1976, that I started in the rapture. I started in the rapture. I was in a hotel room, and Jesus Christ appeared to me in my inner man, and my whole existence changed. Now what happened? It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ that took place in me. And he's been resurrecting and resurrecting and resurrecting every day of my life as I seek to know more and more about him. Lord gave me a little poem I'm going to share with you. I shared it some time back, but I felt led to share it. It says, praise God, praise God. For this new day, how wonderful it is to see the shadows flee away. God has opened a new door. Or the brothers down in Tennessee, Oscar, were saying a portal or whatever. God is opening a new door for those who would see. For those who would see. And he's taken off their blinders to come up and be. To be in his image and his likeness so that others might see the glorious new creation that he's calling us to be. And here's a little appeal from the Holy Spirit. He said, so please, my precious ones, respond unto me so I can put you on display for all the world to see. For truly you have entered into the day of the revelation of me. Praise God. I just saw the revelation of God standing up here 2 minutes ago in Pauletta, talking about how God miraculously healed her. Well, that means that if he healed her, he must be internally in her, and he's doing some great healing work. And you know, the only reason why God heals or does anything like that for his humans is to demonstrate his love and to demonstrate his care. It isn't so much, yeah, we need to go and we need to tell, because there's a lot of people right now that are hurting, and if they get a healing in their body, it might encourage them to go on with Christ and to believe in Jesus Christ. But we also know that according to the scriptures, it said although he did many miracles in their midst, they did not believe. They still didn't believe. So it takes an internal change. It takes a rapture on the inside of them. God has to lift them up out of the darkness that they're in, like he's lifted all of us up and out of the darkness. Every one of us can stand up here with a testimony about when we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. What was going on when you were just in the twinkling of an eye? You left the earth and you entered the kingdom of God. And that's the revelation that God is trying to get across to all of us. The Lord keeps saying to me, years ago he started saying, son, you are already coming from a position of victory. You are not trying to obtain a victory. You have the victory. 1 John 5:5 says, who is he that has the victory or overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He has the victory. A great concern is how the gospel is being ministered in today's world. That's getting ready to change. All this business about you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that, and then you'll start coming into a greater relationship with God. You know, I do those things because I know I have the victory, and I love doing those things for the Lord because I know what he's already done for me. There was years I was trying to become accepted in the Beloved as I marched my way through denominational churches. And one church told me I had to do this. One church literally told me that in order for me to be a member, I'd have to shave my mustache off first. Well, I said it'll burn off on the way down or blow off on the way up. But no, I mean, just stuff like that. You know, you have to do this. We won't get into all the lists of haves. But, you know, when you don't live up to the standards of what they're trying to make you live up to, then you always walk in condemnation and you always feel guilty. You know, if you miss church Sunday, to Margie and I, it was a mortal sin. We were going to go to hell. Stop and think about that. If we ate meat on Friday, well, I could smell the smoke coming up from the pit. But I went to the pit and ate the steak anyway as I was smelling the aroma of the steak. My flesh still went out over that one. But the point is, the Lord wants his church to know you're coming from a position of victory in me. All your sins have been eradicated, done away with at the cross. Now, I could give you 20 or 30 scriptures, but I don't have time. So I'm just going to throw the seed out. And wherever the seed lands, then it's like Pauletta said, it's up to the Lord to give the increase, okay, to water it. But this is some of the things that the Lord gave me to share with you this morning. And this is out of Colossians. I think this is the Message Bible, I'm not sure. It says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Jesus Christ, the Master. Now live in him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now, do what you've been taught. I love this. School is out. School is out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. Ooh. That'll stir you a little bit. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Do you feel sometimes like you're still sitting in school and you're just learning and learning and learning and learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth? That's the way I see many of our brothers and sisters in the church today. Now, I realize that what I'm saying has the potential to offend people. But I believe that there's a beautiful, powerful word that's coming forth in this day that's going to offend people. Because the word will offend. If you're resisting the word, it will offend you. But that's okay. That's okay. God knows how to deal with it. He knows how to put the, he'll tear. And then he'll heal. He'll bring the healing balm in, Then it says in Colossians 2:11, it says, entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. Wow. Do you hear what I just read? Entering into his fullness or this fullness is not something you figure out or you achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already insiders. Isn't that beautiful? How the message puts that? You're already insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you. He went through this for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual that you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to your baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life, and coming up out of it was your resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. But God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All your sins are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. Now, that's a freeing word. If you're hearing what I'm saying, if you're hearing what the Lord's saying, that's a freeing word. School's out. Quit studying the subject. Start living it. Enter into this fullness. Entering into this fullness is not something you need to figure out or achieve. It's all by grace, brothers and sisters. That's the reason why you're hearing such a tremendous amount of grace messages coming forth in this hour, because it's the grace message that's bringing forth the new day in people's hearts and in their lives and in their mind. Because Zechariah said that when Jesus Christ, when he came back, the headstone, he came back with shouts of grace, grace, grace. When the head returns to his body in his fullness, you're going to hear shouts of grace, grace, grace. And that is the new day that we're moving into right now. You're going to hear a whole lot about grace. You're going to hear a whole lot about God's goodness. You're going to hear a whole lot about it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. Just walk in it. Just walk in me. Just talk to me. Because I'm rising up in you. The resurrection's happening now. Don't wait for it. Like Paulette said, boy, I just wish now he would. I am, dear, the Lord says. I'm answering your prayer. Everything in the realm of spirit is now. God isn't in the past, present. He knows everything right now. And that's where he wants his people walking, in the now with him. So don't put up with anyone pressuring you in details of special diets, special worship services, or holy days. Oh my God, I remember those holy days. Those things are mere shadows cast before what was to come. For the true substance is Christ. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolute terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. I'm going to read that one statement again. Verse 3. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us. How is it? How do we build on this resurrection life? How do we promote this resurrection life in us? How do we start coming more and more into a greater measure of Christ? How do we start having Christ formed in us? Like Paul said, he was concerned. I think it was the Corinthian church, one of them. And he says, I'm concerned. I've been praying for you, for Christ to be formed in you. And it says everything that goes into this resurrection life has already been given to us by personally and intimately knowing the one who invited us to God. Amen? Poem here says, there's a great grace coming upon my people who are in the race and keeping pace. A grace to lead and a grace to guide. A place to draw you to my side. A place where I can lead you through the storms. A place where there will be no harm. A place where they can have my life and abide. A place where you can come and hide. A place where my power will be released upon the earth that's seeking peace. For I desire that all be saved and come into the Lord's new day. For my blood was shed for all mankind so that all would come into the divine. Another poem. It's wonderful to know, and it's great to see. The day of the Lord now dawning in thee. That's what's happening, saints. All over the world, you're hearing people say, man, there's something special going on inside of me. They don't realize that Jesus is really starting to come back in his fullness in them. It's the day of the Lord that all the prophets prophesied from Genesis to Revelation. This is the day of the Lord. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a terrible day. It's going to be terrible on the flesh, but it's going to be great if you're walking with God. Nothing to fear. No need to fear any of the storms if you're pressing into the Lord, if you know the benefits that you have in Christ. For the time has come to see the Son. For the time has come to unite as one. For I see a new tomorrow whose day is already come. Selah. Think about that for a moment. I see a new tomorrow whose day has already come. Many of our brothers and sisters are still, he's coming. He's coming. Bless God. I know he is. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We don't see much power in our brothers and sisters in the denominational systems because Jesus is coming someday. When we know that Jesus has come, and we know that he is the temple, and we know that he does not dwell in he does not dwell in temples made with men's hands, big cathedrals, stained glass windows, millions of dollars in buildings. Paul says, don't you know? He ain't there anymore. That's not where it's at. Not this big synagogue that you see up here, but that you are the temple of God. You are. Each one of us with the temple of God. And each one of us is personally held accountable and responsible to acknowledge that fact. For I see a new tomorrow whose day has already come. I see a new tomorrow whose day has already sprung. I see the new beginning of which there is no end. And I see a new beginning that's going to start a trend. And we need to listen to this. So now there are two ways that my people can go. The way of the world, which will bring them down below. Or the way of my spirit, which will lead them to know. To know the things which are coming and the way that they should go. For the days which are here will be like sinking sand. And the only way to navigate them is to be led by my hand. So covet to have the best of my ways. And you will obtain this through prayer and through praise. For prayer will lead you in my way, and praise will support you as you face the day. For truly, I will be with you throughout all of the way. I get the sense that there are some wonderful storms approaching. Now, the flesh does not like to hear that. But if you are abiding in the secret place of the Most High, you are not the least bit intimidated when I say storms are coming. And I believe, I'm not prophesying, but I believe that storms are right around the corner. That's just my belief. Okay, like I said, I'm not prophesying, not trying to bring anybody down, but I've got to speak what I believe the Holy Spirit has given my heart. And, I looked at Peter when he was in the midst of the storm, and he was in the boat, and the Lord was kind of speaking to me, saying, my people, they're in a boat right now. They're all pretty nice and comfortable. I've got the nice chairs in the sanctuary, and nothing's really challenging them a whole lot in any way. And then all of a sudden Jesus comes out in the water and says, "Hey, Peter." Peter looks at him, "Bid me to come." And he said, "Come on." One thing the Lord spoke to him about that is he said, before the storms get here, I'm there before the storm is. When the storm hit, Peter was, you could see Jesus. He was walking right alongside of him in the water. And the same way when the other storm hit, he was down in the bow of the ship. He was there. Whenever there's a storm in our life, he's always there. Paulette had just testified to that fact. In all the storms that she was in, her testimony was, he was there. He was there. So, the point is, he's there before you're there, okay? And Paul, when he was in a storm, they had to take a bunch of the luggage and stuff, and they had to throw it overboard. I think we're in the process of doing that right now. I sense that the Lord is saying to his body, to his people, I want you to come, talk with me. There's some things I need to show you that are a weight in your life, that are occupying this thing right here. And we should be taking on the mind of Christ more and more every day. And ask me how I know this is because this is what the Lord's saying to me. I find myself so much thinking about business. And the Lord is saying, it's got to be cast overboard, son. If this ship's going to make it to where I want it to go, it's got to be cast overboard. So I'm casting all that stuff overboard as the Lord opens the doors, and he has been. But there was an interesting scripture in there, too, in Acts, where it says, "And on the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." That kind of struck me when I read that in Acts 27, where Paul said, "And on the third day, we cast out the tackling and with our own hands." And the tackling, as I looked it up, it's apparatus. It's ropes that actually support a ship's mast and their sails. And what happened was Paul, in that storm, he threw all the weight over that he could throw, got rid of all the extra baggage. But then he had to take the tackling down with his own hands. And as I got to thinking about that, the tackling was the ropes that held on to the sails, and when the winds blew, you could manipulate the sails by the tackling. And the Lord said, as my winds have been blowing in the past, my people have been negotiating which way they want my winds to blow them. But now I need for them to even take the tackling down and throw it overboard, because now the winds are going to blow you where he wants to take you. And there isn't going to be any manipulating anymore. I want you to go and do this. Well, Lord, yeah, I'll do some of that. I see how your wind's blowing, and let's work this thing out together. And he said, in the days ahead, the tackling's got to go, because the Spirit lists us where it wants to go. Nobody knows where it comes from. But if you just sit in that boat in Jesus, take all that tackling down, when those winds come, it'll be a wonderful storm. Because the only reason why storms come is so he can reveal himself to us. He can reveal his goodness. He can reveal his holiness. He can reveal his power to us. We can scream in the midst of the storm, and we can do like the young disciples did and said, Lord, don't you care? That was their response to the Lord. When the storms came and he was sleeping down in the bottom of the boat, they went down. Their words to him was, don't you care that we perish? You know, I hate to admit it, but a lot of times when I get into storms, that's Jimmy. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? And he's saying, the reason why the storm comes so I can show you I do care. So I can show you I do care. Don't be bothered by the storms. The psalm says he controls the storms, doesn't he? He controls everything. He controls it all. He wants us to get out of the boat and take that first step. It's time to get out of school. It's time to stop studying and more of this, more of that, and more of that, and this, and that, and this. No. He says, I want you to take a step out of the boat. That first step of faith. And then the Lord was the one that held Peter up on the water. But Peter had to take that first step. I sense that the year 2020, that God is going to be calling on a lot of people in this fellowship because of how blessed we've been over the years. Of all the knowledge that we're sitting in, all the revelation light that we're sitting in, which isn't going to do anybody any damn bit of good as long as we keep it in our little comfortable boat. We got to get out. We got to start sharing this. We got to take the first step of faith. And when we do, I suspect and I believe that God is going to start opening tremendous doors to this fellowship. And in that one poem where he said, respond to me, precious ones, respond to me. You know, response doesn't necessarily mean, yeah, I heard what you said. Response means react. You know, it's just like times when you talk to your kids saying, I don't want you doing it anymore. You go, okay. Did he hear you? No. He just blew you off. But then you look at the fruit. You know that he hurts you when he starts driving the car the way he should instead of getting busted all the time by the police. But God is looking for a response out of this fellowship, and he's looking for a response out of his church in the earth today. God is gathering unto himself a people. Ray Prinzing used to call it the himself company. God is gathering out of the world right now a people unto himself. And they're going to bear his name, not wings,
not St. Susanna, not First Baptist Church of New Orleans. They're going to walk in His name. They're going to walk in His nature. And people are going to be able to look at us and say, we know they've been with Jesus because there's something special about them. Like they said to the disciples, we don't know who these dudes are, but they've been with Jesus. That's pretty obvious. Because look at them, Paula. I don't know who she is if I'm the store clerk, but it's obvious she's been with Jesus. She's always telling people about Jesus. They don't have to know you, but they need to know Him that's in you. The world's hurting right now, really hurting, as we all know. Don't even have to turn the TV on. You can just get out and walk down the street and see what's going on. Kids on drugs, sex slavery, I mean, the list goes on and on. And I just really believe that the Lord is saying, now is the time. Now is the time. We got to come out of school. We got to do something about it. I'm not talking about us creating all kind of this, that, and the other thing, but I'm talking about us just getting a little bit serious with God and spending some intimate time with the Lord, which is the key to this whole thing. The key to the whole thing is spending intimate time, getting alone with the Lord. Can't say that enough. Can't say that enough. It will change your life because it starts renewing your mind. And that's where the battleground is. It's in the mind. All right, so let's wrap her up here. And let's see how we're going to wrap it up. I see people in the earth today who are hearing and seeing the more perfect day. That's what we saw down in Tennessee when Brother Oscar and I went down there. I don't know how many people were there, 80, 90 people, 70 people, I don't know. But how wonderful it was to dwell in unity. Every one of those people were saying the same thing. Every one of those people were hearing from the same Lord. And we didn't know any of them. And they didn't know us. But everywhere you went, there was a unity and a harmony. There was just a fellowship in the Spirit with these people. It was wonderful. And that's what God's raising up right now. He's raising up a church, churches, or a church, but there'll be many of them. And they're all going to be speaking the same thing. They're all going to have the same vision. When we were singing that song, Lord, Make Me a Sanctuary, I was going to do it again. I was going to sing it over again, but that's okay. And I was going to say, let's sing, Lord, Make Us a Sanctuary. Because I think there's too much make me in the body today. Make me a sanctuary. I think it's make us. Make us a sanctuary. Because it's amazing when two or more can come together. It's just like the musicians this morning when Cynthia was there and Randy was there. They had a nice sound. But oh my goodness, when the drummer came and when the sax came and those two started blowing, it was like, oh my God. Oh my God, it's just a whole, it's just wonderful. And that's the same way it is when a body comes together. Instead of catching up with each other 1 hour on Sunday and how you doing, praise God, I'll put you on a prayer list, bye. There's got to be more to this thing, guys. There's got to be more to it. And I think that in the future, God's going to put our feet to the fire in a good way. In a good way. In a good way. Okay? So, if you want more of God, then get ready for a... The storms aren't really necessary if you're willing to help build God this temple. If you spend time with the Lord, whatever, it's, things get a little rough. You know, when God's wanting us to do something and we decide we're going to go our own way. Last poem. The night is far spent and the day has dawned. The day will break and the earth will quake. The day has come to see the sun. S-O-N. The day has come to unite as one. One with the Father, one in the Son, and one through the Holy Spirit to bring forth the one. I've heard the travail of my people in chains, Pauletta, And I am now coming forth to change their name into his nature. Change of name. We talked about that a good bit back in the Sunday school this morning, how God changed Jacob's name, changed Paul's name, so on and so forth. It's going to be a name of honor with truth and grace. It's going to be a name of honor to remove disgrace. A people with my glory to display to my creation. A people of glory to take to the nations. A people with authority to get the job done. A people with authority to make the nations one. For surely this is the day of the revealing of my sons, to bring back all creation into the splendor of my son. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this word. I didn't come to teach, Lord. I didn't come to preach. It's like you said, I just have a message that I want you to give them. You're not preaching. You're not teaching. This is a message that I want you to give them. So, Lord, we got the message. And we know, Father, that the only way that we're going to bring any of this to pass is by your grace. You're going to have to do it. We know that, Lord. It doesn't work any different now that we're saved than it did when we were lost, because you saved us by your grace through faith that you imparted to us. You gave us the ability to come from death into life. A dead man can't resurrect himself. It was your grace. You imparted the faith, and it quickened us. Your resurrection power quickened us. And you translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. And that's what you're doing in this hour, Father. You're saying, come up here. Come up here. There's a door in heaven that's open to you. John said, and I was in the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit. He was fellowshipping intimately with the Lord. And he said, I was in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, a door opened to me in the heavens. And that's what's open to each and every one of us right now. If you will fellowship with God in the Spirit, the door is open. This is a huge move of grace on God's part right now. Any questions you have in your mind or in your heart about him, he says, the door is open. Ask and you shall receive, for everyone who asks receiveth. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door is now open unto you. We thank you, Father. Bless the people, God. Bring us up higher, Father. Encourage their hearts. I know this message could be somewhat heavy, but Father, I think it's kind of heavy because of where we're at spiritually, Lord. We need to go into that closet and find that secret place in you, Lord. Psalm 91, like the psalm that Brenda read last month from Brother Steve. God wants the eagles to fly. Come up out of the barnyard, away from the chickens, and start flying into the heavenly, says the Lord. Glory to you, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oscar.